Champagne Sharks, episode 10, talking about gentrification. What's up, Champagne Sharks, episode 10. We are in the double digits. And so let's just check. Can everyone hear me? I just want to make sure. We've been having technical difficulties today.
Microphone check. You guys hear me?
Yeah.
All right. We're good on my end. Mike?
Hey, Mike. It's all good?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay, cool. So episode 10. Champagne Sharks, we're in the double digits. It's a milestone. I'm drinking extra good coffee. So, okay, this is T, known as Ricky Rawls on Twitter. No underscore, one word, RickyRawls. And I have my two co-hosts in alphabetical order, starting with D Mills.
Hey, everybody. Hope everybody's having a great Sunday, man. It's you can catch me on Twitter at MDMills79. That's M as in Mary, D as in David, MILLS79. And yeah, let's get it going, man. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Mike.
Mike from the Midwest in here, also known as Dear White Jesus, DWJ. Y'all can catch me on Twitter as that. And let's get it cracking.
All right. Make sure to follow them, too. And me for that matter as well. Why not? Okay. So, first off, how's your guys' week been?
You know, it's been hot as hell out here in on the West Coast and in Cali, man. It's been pretty hot down here. So, basically, my week has been me hunkered down in the house in front of my window AC unit, trying to keep that poor thing going. Yeah, so that's pretty much been what I've been. You know, you guys know I'm man down. I had surgery on my Achilles tendon back in April. And so it's been a few months of recovery for me. So I can't get out and do much of anything. Yeah.
I have so much surgery lined up for 2017. Like, that's my actual theme for the year. It's going to be horrible. I already told you, both rotator cuffs I've torn doing Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah,
and they can't do both at once. I'm just gonna be like an armless guy. I can't use anything, so they have to stagger them. So it's gonna be just at any point in 2017, I'll be recovering from a surgery. Then there's the patellar tendon in my left knee. It's a humbling year. How about you, Mike?
My week's been pretty good. I have a 9-to-5 that I finished up Friday night at 11 p.m. I don't want to think about that place until I have to go back in on Thursday at 3 p.m. have been having pretty decent weather for this, you know, time of year, summer, everywhere else. But this is Wisconsin, and you can't really go by the time of year, you know, as a judge for what the weather is going to be. But it's been pretty nice, actually.
Yeah, dude, it was 91 degrees here, and my window unit, from just years of overuse, just finally conked out, like, today, all day. Yeah, so I'm, like, half melted, man. It's not pretty.
T's getting ready to check into a hotel for the rest of the week.
yo, you ever get up from, like, your couch and there's like a sweat imprint of your body?
Yo,
that was me too. It was fucking gross.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There's a couple of things in the news I wanted to talk about. First off, like, any of y'all listen to that Jay-Z album?
I do not have Tidal, man, so I'm asked out when it comes to that. But I sure as hell have been hearing a lot about it. So,
God,
I'm like everybody else.
Yeah, they played it. They played the whole thing on the radio.
Hell out of here. Are you serious?
Terrestrial radio, they played like the whole thing. Me and my brother listened to it.
What were your thoughts?
I thought it was...
Hello?
Mike.
Oh man, Jay-Z popped in and shut him down.
The album was so good, man. He just he's at a loss for words. He's like,
no, I'm telling you, man. That title and that Illuminati has got to reach.
They got him. They said, "Oh shit, he heard it on the radio. We got to get him up."
Maybe he didn't like it, and somehow the Illuminati already knew. So they were just like, "Yo, fuck that."
Shit. No, but I've been hearing a lot of good things about it. It's like a lot of people, for them, it's like life changing. Like people are saying, "Yeah, man, this is. I'm going to re-establish my finances because Jay-Z said, don't put money up to your ear and don't do this." So now people want to get fiscally responsible and shit. So it's been interesting to hear some of the comments.
You know what Twitter needs? Like, do you know how they have trending topics and you can see what's being mentioned the most? There needs to be a way to track flame emojis. Like,
yeah.
Because I think when that album came out, the flame emoji use had to be out of control.
Oh, and man.
Once too many black people use flame emojis, I don't trust the thing. Because flame emojis are like sneezes or yawns with black people. They're contagious. Like, as soon as you start seeing 3-4 of them in a row, about 20 in an hour, it just hits critical mass, runaway thing. So, yeah, because once there's that many flame emojis, the last thing I saw with this many flame emojis I can remember was that D'Angelo album.
The last one that came out? I forget what the name of the Vanguard album or whatever it was.
I forget what it was, but there was just a critical mass of flame emojis. Like, you know, people weren't even listening to this app. Like, it just came out and people were doing 20 flame emojis. Like,
yeah, you know what, man? I heard, what the hell is the name of the place? There's like a trillion podcasts out now. The only one you really need to be listening to is ours, but I digress.
Yeah, of course.
But I heard,
without saying,
there you go. I heard Joe Budden's talking about that. Him and academics got into it on their podcast a little bit. Yeah, the point Joe Budden was making, they were talking about Damn, you know, the Kendrick album, and people wanted them to come out and make a proclamation about the album right then and there. Like, okay, man, this album is the greatest I've ever heard, or this album is whack, this, that, and the other. And what Joe was saying to academics was like, yo, I haven't digested the album yet. It's been out for like 2 days. Let me listen to the album. Let me soak it up so that I can really give you a better understanding of what I think about the album. I can't just come to you like, yo, it's been 24 hours. The album is the dopest I've ever heard. And, you know, so that was one of the things that they got into it with, about this whole situation of you know, just giving this premature label of greatness to albums like that.
Hello,
can you hear me?
I missed the last couple of words.
I was saying that they were having a discussion about Damn. Did you hear all that?
Okay.
No, I was just saying that basically
you were saying that he had to digest it,
right, and he had to digest the album. He said the album's only been out for 48 hours, man. Let me listen to it and soak it up and digest it before I come out and make a proclamation. But now people want you to instantaneously label something either whack or great within, you know, an hour or two of hearing the damn thing. And it's just like, yo, how do you even know?
And you know what else, too? Not only do you have to instantly give your opinion, but you have to be over it when everyone else is over it, too. That's the other thing.
Right.
When the tide turns on something and it's time for a backlash or to switch up, then that's supposed to be instant, too. Like, once you're back out of favor, it's that same crazy mentality of everyone's hopping on the now backlash wagon.
Yeah.
You know, there's no real loyalty for anything. I mean, me personally, like, Jay-Z died. Jay-Z died around the Black Album.
Yeah.
And this new guy who, I mean, this new guy who raps about Basquiat and owning a Warhol painting and buying a building. I mean, he's okay, but he's not Jay-Z to me. I just think of him as a new guy. that I'm not really crazy about. So yeah, Jay-Z had his career ended at the Black Album. He retired. And like this is like Earth 2 Jay-Z or something, you know? And yeah, I'm not really Jay-Z. Feeling him, you know? Yeah, yeah. I'm not like a lot of people like him, but yeah, like that New York song with Alicia Keys is like, oh, I'm good.
Man, they played that song so much when it came out. Man.
God, one thing New Yorkers can never get enough of is being on their own dick. It's so crazy. Like when the Yankees and I say this as a native New Yorker, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I feel comfortable saying it, but people like when I go on vacation and I see New Yorkers, like you can spot them a mile away. They're like dressed in black. They have that like that whole no autographs please thing going on, and then they always want to bring up they're from New York. And sometimes I don't even want to say I'm from New York. You know, because it's just
You know what? And go ahead, finish your thought.
They think everyone is as in love with New York as they are. Like it's unfathomable to them that somebody might not live in New York and spend all day long daydreaming about moving there. Mm-hmm. You know, they think everyone daydreams and wishes they were in New York. It's a funny like thing.
That. You know, one thing I did notice about. I think it's East Coasters in general, New Yorkers and people from Jersey in particular. Bomani Jones, what's that guy's name? The sports
cat. Oh yeah, Bomani Jones.
One of those.
I don't know much about him except on Twitter.
He moved out to L.A. from New York, and he was talking about how he couldn't walk and find a good bagel spot within a few blocks. I'm like, man, you everywhere you go doesn't have to be New York, man. You know, just
come
to LA and enjoy LA cuisine for what LA cuisine is. Enjoy New York cuisine for what New York cuisine is. Enjoy Chicago for what that is. You know what I mean? You know, everywhere you go, it doesn't have to be fucking New York, man. I mean, come on.
Oh, man. New Yorkers will move someplace and then they just will never forgive it for not being New York. And I think especially if you moved out of New York for financial reasons, then, like, just be quiet, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like, what I mean by that is, like, yeah, New York has a lot of ridiculous conveniences all on top of each other. Mm-hmm. But that shit costs a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like if you moved out of New York for your career, for whatever, to get a better life, be happy for that better life.
Right.
Instead of dwelling on, like, you know, pizzas and stuff.
Exactly. I'm sorry, one correction. It wasn't Bomani Jones. It was LZ Granderson. That's who it was.
Oh, okay. That's good. I'm glad you figured that out because people are super pedantic. Oh. We would have gotten like 100 tweets.
Exactly. I'm going to read the tweet right now. It says, reason number 564 why New York is better than LA. It's 8 a.m. I've walked 3 blocks and I can't buy a bagel anywhere. I'm like, I swear to God, if I hear one more goddamn New York transplant come to LA and complain about lack of a fucking bagel, I'm going to just smash one over their head. I swear, man.
And here's what the funny thing is to me is New York, most native New Yorkers are having trouble staying here. I'm like part of a dying breed. I go out, I meet no native New Yorkers, like rarely. If I meet one, it's like a unicorn. So it's just weird that in New York, you have people who on average have not been here that long, like, you know, 2 to 8 years, whatever. When I go out, generally, unless I'm going like deeper in New York, once you're in gentrified Brooklyn, Manhattan proper, I mean, good luck meeting a native New Yorker. But meanwhile, New Yorkers are going other places and just complaining it's not New York.
Yeah, and I've noticed that same thing here, man. It's like a disease that just spreads. I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get why you don't want to say it. And I can probably get away with it more being a New Yorker.
Yeah.
But no, I know what I was just saying. Like, people used to tell me, oh, man, New Yorkers are awful. And I didn't travel that much. And I'm like, what are you talking about? New York's awesome. Then when I started traveling and seeing New Yorkers travel, I was like, wow, we do suck.
You know what's funny, man, is when I used to do Uber, I would have people from the East Coast. I have people from Connecticut. I'd have people from New York, Jersey, Boston. And for the most part, man, all of them loved being in Los Angeles. They said, look, man, I love Los Angeles. The only thing they would say that they missed about being back East was seasons, you know, because out here in Cali, we don't really have, especially Southern Cali, we just basically have like summer and fall. We don't have like a real winter. You know what I mean? We don't have.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard
winter,
that.
Fuck spring. You know, we just jump right to summer. And so they were saying that they missed it. But then one dude from Massachusetts, he was from Boston. He was like, no, I'll never go back. I don't miss it at all. He said, I don't miss shoveling snow out of my driveway or none of that shit. I said, damn, you don't even have family back there. He said, oh, yeah, I got family back there. But, you know, there's nothing in Boston that I would miss enough to want to go back and even visit. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Well,
I have some friends who've left New York who were like that. Like, they left and they were like homesick for a year or two. But a couple of them went and just were happy where they were. Like, I have one friend that went to Houston, and now he's just a Houston guy. Mm. Like, he comes back to New York, and it's a foreign country to him. It also doesn't help that with the gentrification, it literally is a different place.
Yeah.
Like, he's from Bed-Stuy when it was Bed-Stuy, you know, not this theme park it is now. Mm. Like, now it's like almost like a dorm.
How if the gentrification out there... I want to compare notes because, you know, it goes on heavy out here, too. Out there, do they leave the buildings pretty much as is, or do they tear shit down and build?
They do both. Yeah. The big prize is to get brownstones now because they have a lot of history and they're old. And I think in general, old is considered better than new, kind of like how vintage clothes are, like. You're better off getting vintage clothes than new Urban Outfitters vintage looking clothes.
Yeah.
So I think they're the same way with buildings. That's my take on it. But at the same time, they do make a shit ton of new condos.
Oh, fuck.
So both happens. And they make condos in weird shapes. You get condos like a shoebox shape in a really narrow space. Like, for example, there was on my old block in Bed-Stuy, there was this narrow lot, and they kept doing stuff on the block, and a lot of gentrification was happening, and we kept looking at that lot, and we're like, the way these predatory developers are, they're not going to leave this lot alone. Something's going to happen. And I went back to that block, and they put the narrowest quote-unquote luxury condo I've ever seen in my life. I mean, they tried to make it as long as possible from front to back to kind of play off that, you know, you could lie down sideways and probably touch both walls.
Right.
So it was just this ridiculously rectangular, long-looking condo that they call a luxury condo. And I think it has a gym. And I want to know how you can even work out in that shape.
Yeah.
I mean, you try to curl an Olympic size barbell, you're going to be scraping both walls. Like, I don't get it, but they all sell.
Yeah, it's weird.
And for a good chunk of change, too.
It's the same thing out here. I don't think the prices that the properties are going for are anywhere near as astronomical as they are out that way. But there's like three or four major areas out here. In L.A., there's the Silver Lake area, there's Echo Park, and there's Highland Park. Those are all traditionally Latino populated areas. They've been the majority of the population in those cities for the longest time. And those are also probably some of the most heavily gentrified areas in this part of the country. And it's the same thing there. It's like they leave a lot of the old stuff. You know, I'm not going to lie. They do leave a lot of the old architecture and the style and essence of Echo Park is still there, you know, minus all of the new cafes and shit like that are popping up, or like the new little art exhibits and shit like that. Gallery.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a gallery and a coffee shop like every other block pretty much. But
I didn't know it was going on heavy like that over there.
Oh, man. Yeah, Silver Lake, that used to be a place you would never want to go. Like 10, 15 years ago, Silver Lake was like one of those places. It's like a little nest inside of Los Angeles that you just never want to go over there. You know, it was notorious. It's like a drug den. You go over there, it was just drugs and like prostitution over there.
White people have a big sense of adventure, though. Mm-hmm. You know, the same way they'll just risk their life for no reason. Like, hey, let me tie this rubber band to my feet and just jump off a bridge to see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, I think with black people, life is precarious and scary enough. It's hard to fathom just, I want to take on a threat to my life just to see how it feels.
Extremely.
Because I think, you know, yeah, for us just leaving the house, you know, it's a,
right.
You're trying to think about it, but shit could happen, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I think gentrification for a lot of them is the same way. When Brooklyn was starting to gentrify, I would see white people pop up in places where, like, me and my cousins wouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
You just start, I'm like, yo, what are you doing here? He goes, oh, yeah, I just moved in.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Yeah. But also, I think it's also in a way, even though it's counterintuitive, it's less scary for them.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is there was this dude I used to know that would, he would rob people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, like, I forget exactly how, made, like, we weren't, like, good friends, but, you know, like, we'd talk and stuff, and he would tell me about different things that happened. This is, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s. And he said something really interesting because he was talking about like some yuppie black people that, you know, were coming in. And I think he like mugged one, or he said he robbed one. I have no idea what was ever really true with this guy, but he would not fuck with white people because he knew if he did that, everything would change. The response would be different. The police would take it way more seriously. And God forbid it was a white girl.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So you would see, like, white girls walking through the projects, cutting through on the way home from, like, bars or whatever. They would take a shortcut through the courtyard of the projects like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And be, like, untouched.
Same.
But meanwhile, if a project that I didn't know anyone in or had no experience in, I couldn't
risk.
Go through there.
Yeah, you'd be.
Yeah, they'd be like, you know, where are you from?
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing out here. Where USC is, University of Southern California, it's the same situation. Like, that's over there in, I forget what hood is over there. I think it's, who is over there? It's a blood neighborhood. I can't think of the name. I'm having a brain freeze right now, but. You know, those guys, they don't mess with any of those college kids over there. But I mean, I swear, man, they like the school, the campus, the school, they brought up, bought a bunch of properties over there so that the kids can have housing and shit over there. And they, in the areas where they don't have the housing as much, they put up cameras literally on almost every single street corner. So you couldn't get away with any kind of crime over there anymore if you even wanted to, because there's cameras everywhere. And it's just like, well, shit, man, you know, thanks a lot. You know,
that's the thing. When they want to get rid of crime, man. In an area, you'd be surprised. Well, you wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you in the general sense,
right.
As far as listeners out there, it's surprising how quick they can really get rid of it when they want
they
to.
Get
once white people get involved.
Dude, they get competent really fast. You know,
same thing
happened in my neighborhood. You know, I'm from Altadena. And it was the same kind of thing, you know. They opened up this gated community called the Lavinia Homes up there in the very top of Lincoln Avenue. You've never been before, but there's a street called Lincoln Avenue, and it runs all the way from Pasadena. You can get off of the 210 freeway and exit and head north and just drive all the way up into the mountains. And at the top of this street, once you get there in Altadena, there's a community called the Lavinia Homes. And when they built those things, I remember, you know, in my hood, it used to be you could go down the street. You could be literally there could be a shooting at any moment and you would never know when. You would see a bunch of Crips hanging out in front of the liquor store. You travel further south, you'd see liquor stores everywhere. You'd see dudes hanging out in front of this old burger spot. And then all of a sudden, man, when little by little, they started buying up the property there. They fixed things up, tore down every single one of those liquor stores. There's not a single liquor store over there anymore. Now it's like a 24-hour fitness. There's like a Subway, a Starbucks. What's the fake Mexican food place where you get the burritos where they were?
Oh, the Chipotle.
Yeah, they Chipotle there. Basically everything that you would expect to see, you know, in a gentrified area, you see it there, you know, independent cafes, everything like that. Now, even the school that I went to, which was John Muir, I went there as a freshman. I got kicked out after my freshman year because I was a knucklehead. But the front entrance of the school used to be gated off. You couldn't enter through the front. You know, that's how bad it was. They would funnel us all through a side entrance. And, you know, now they've beautified it. They've opened it up. There's like murals and shit. The grass is cut nice. They've planted trees. It looks great, you know, because all of these well-to-do white people, you know, they have to drive past. They got tired of having to drive past the ghetto to get to their nice homes up in the hills. So they fixed all that shit up for like 3 or 4 straight miles. You know, it's just that everything looks pretty good now.
You want to hear something interesting? The block in Clinton Hill I live on now, I've made a full circle, and I feel terrible because I lived here in the 90s when it was really sketchy, and all I thought about was just getting out. And basically, I made it full circle, you know, like about between 10 to 15 years later, you know, living in different places in Brooklyn, just to move back to the same block for way more money.
Yeah.
And all I think is, A, if I just stayed in that fucking apartment and it was rent control.
Oh, damn, dude.
It was two floors. Wow. It was two floors for $1,000. And there was a limit to how much it would have gone up. I passed by that apartment because I live on the same block. Mm-hmm. And I just stare at it. They're going to get a restraining order against me because I'm just like outside that. It's a first floor apartment and it was two floors. I just like stare at it sometimes. Guy. I'm like, someone's going to.
He comes here every day at 7 and he just sits there and he looks at us. I don't know what he's doing. He's planning something.
Oh my God. Yeah. And you know what? Even if it opened back up, what it would probably cost now, because they can raise the price more between tenants than they can if the same tenant stays. You know, they can raise it significantly more. So I'm sure it's probably at market level now or higher. But, you know, I still have this fantasy, like somehow.
Like the owner of the property would actually have to make a conscientious choice to keep the price or to keep the rent at a reasonable rate, right? I mean.
Well, what happens is if the same tenant stays there, I think the most they can raise it, because I was there for a couple of years, the most they can raise it is like $10. So being that it was $1,000 at the time, we would get rent raises like your rent now is $1,010 a month. And it's like, ooh, yeah, I can live with that.
Yeah.
So we're not getting when new tenants come in, they can raise it dramatically. So I'm sure like now it's, like if I stayed there, it would have probably still been $1,000 for a giant 2-floor, 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment. Whereas now, with the amount of times it's probably changed hands, it's probably at market rate. It's probably over $3,000, $4,000 now. But I still have this fantasy that it's going to open up and I'll jump back in there for like
$1,000. Imagine being an original tenant in that spot, dude, they'd probably do everything they could possibly do to get you the hell up out of there. I mean, they put roaches and rats in the walls. They would set fire to shit.
That's happening in the building next door.
Oh, there you go.
It's so funny you say that. You know what's funny? This episode, you know, like we're having technical difficulties. Mike dropped out. So this conversation started as a stall until Mike came back in. And then I was going to get to our planned topics, but this is actually so interesting. I'm about to just stay on this. And to the listeners out there, you might be judging on the technical difficulties because this is like our umpteenth time. Last time you got kicked out and now Mike is kicked out. But what you guys don't realize is this is like the rawness that makes it better. Yeah. Like, you don't want a polished podcast from NPR or BuzzFeed. Like, who wants that? This is the real, like, you know what? Every episode, I want someone to get kicked out. I'm going to kick myself out next
this
time.
This is the raw sound.
Just let you guys do
no mixer. Just, no.
Yeah.
This is just straight up raw. This is as raw as
this is like hip hop shows before they had the DAT, the DAT, and like you have the live DJ, the power goes out. You know, this is old school.
Yeah, you're doing a good job freestyling on the mic, playing the MC role, keeping the party going.
Yeah, there we go. Like, you know, this is what the listeners out there, you don't realize it yet, but this is what you want. And we're forcing it on you. The technical difficulties.
So stay and listen.
And host getting. Yeah, there you go. So staying on this topic, because it wasn't even what we have planned, but I'm enjoying it. Listen to this. So I'm getting on the train, right? I'm getting on the train, and I see this guy that I know. He lives in the building next door. The building next door is nicer than mine. And they're just moving in all these pumpkin spice latte type girls and these investment banker type guys. I met this guy who had just moved there, and he was like a fashion model or something. And they have old tenants and new tenants. A celebrity chef. Yeah, a celebrity chef moved into that building too, but thankfully he moved out. His apartment was outside of my window, and he would throw all these parties. And they were like brutal at first because they were loud and they would go late. But then they were just way too fun looking and it would just like be depressing. Like he threw a party and then he had like all these models because his apartment spills out into the roof. It opens into the roof, right? And then like L. Varner, the singer, was there and he was dancing outside with her in the summer, and there were like, all these fashion models. He's a black celebrity chef. Yeah. And
that's like a crush.
I mean
why do you have to go and mention that?
She's been like right outside because his apartment was like almost on the same level as mine. And you would think, like, people would tell me, oh, wow, that must be so cool. I'm like, why is that cool? I'm not there. I'm just looking across the street. This is not cool at all. It's just making me realize how lame my life is. So once he went, I was happy because I couldn't take much more of that, you know, because he had like chef hours too, I guess. So he would just be home all day and just have like parties all day on his thing. But anyway, this building has its old tenants, rent controlled. Meanwhile, they changed ownership. Each time a rent-controlled tenant moved out, the rent-controlled tenants were paying on average like $2,000 a month. But for the size of these apartments and the current market rate, that's actually a real steal. These things that are like, they have super high ceilings, really nice big apartments, right? Old tenants would move out. They would do some renovation, maybe a couple hundred dollars to like $1,500 of renovations. But for that amount of renovations, they would re-rent the apartment for $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a month. Because my friend lived there and he was telling me what they were charging. And they were coming up with all crazy ways to justify the rent. So
no kind of
in addition to like new...
At that time.
Well, the old tenants are rent controlled, but for some reason, I don't understand the law fully, but if you do a certain amount of renovations, you're then allowed to somehow break out of the rent control.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So the rent control is mostly for the legal reason. not so much for the tenants' comfort. And for example, this apartment, because this building is directly across from me, to the point there's an alley between us and we share a garbage area. If I was crazy enough, I could jump out of my window and land on the roof next door. That's how close it is, because it's not that far and it's about a floor below me. It's a little bit below me. But anyway, what they did, for example, this person's apartment opened onto the roof, right? They tore down, after the old tenant came out, they tore down the window, replaced the window with a door. So now, instead of a window, there's a door in place that opens directly onto the roof. They put this fake wood deck on a Brooklyn roof. So it's like this fake suburbs deck that makes zero sense. And then they made that into an extension of the apartment. So now you have an apartment that opens out onto the roof. But being that the roof wasn't designed to be a roof deck, it just looks stupid. Imagine a roof, an old school roof, and then someone just built a deck and sat it on a portion of the roof.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
And then, so there's three apartments that connect to the roof somehow. They took two windows of two apartments, made them open directly onto the roof, and gave them both their own decks. Then, and they used that to help justify $6,000, $7,000 rents or whatever, right? Another apartment is below the roof, right? So you know what they did for that one? They created some weird makeshift structure on the roof and then put a hole into the roof and a staircase and created like a fake second floor. So now your second floor...
Like a facade? There's really nothing. It's a completely fake second floor?
It just looks like a patchwork, try-hard luxury. You know, it's like if you take a regular apartment that wasn't designed to be a luxury apartment and try to just create extensions anywhere you could, that's what it looks like. Like, it doesn't look organic. It looks like, what's the word when you build something on something after the fact? Like an after-built or after... You know, like when somebody has something and you could tell it wasn't originally designed that way and the person kind of just tries to put it on their house and on their building and it just sticks out as something you were trying to do after the fact, even if you've never seen how it originally looked. That's what this looked like. Hey, you still there?
Yeah, I'm good. I got you. Got you.
Oh, cool, cool. I was worried that we lost two people, which would be planned, of course, if it happened. But yes. So this roof just looks stupid. It has three or four independent, makeshift, incongruous structures on it that don't match the original building. Like they have these weird suburban-looking patios and decks just slapped onto a brick old school building.
Okay.
And people put grills there. They put smokers. They put all this stuff to kind of pretend they're living in some kind of soccer mom neighborhood.
So they try to bring suburbia with them where they left it.
Yeah, exactly. And then those would be the same people who will just keep calling the cops on the original tenants and act like they're invading. And it's like, wait, this isn't a suburb. You're moving here and trying to pretend that it is. Forced out.
Sorry, my mic is... tripping out right now. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Cool. I can hear you. Yeah, so the old tenants who are rent controlled, they have to force these people out, right? So check this out. They're there for about $2,000 a month. They're kind of banding together to try to fight this messed up management company. Mm-hmm. So they're having meetings. There's the old tenants. There's the new tenants. The new tenants act like the old tenants are like delivery people or interlopers or something, you know? They'll be like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? Are you delivering food? And the person will be like, hey, I live here. I'm a lawyer. I've lived here for like 15, 20 years. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, but the guy was black. So they assumed that he was a delivery person. Yeah. He's like a Columbia trained lawyer too. It's funny. And this girl's like a 20.
That is so funny.
Yeah, and this girl's like a 20-something-year-old white girl. And all these kids moving into that building, they have a totally subsidized by their parents' lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes me crazier. They're like 20-something living in this building, and they're questioning a guy who's been a lawyer for like a long time, you know. Columbia train, lived there forever, and they're grilling him like he's the delivery person.
Wow. Yeah, what do you, when you say grilling him, what do you,
well, like, you know,
they're asking him, what is he doing there? Or what?
Well, yeah. I don't want to go on too much on a tangent, so I'll keep this short. He came in and he had his Costco boxes because he was coming in with his family, and in the mail area / a foyer, there's this pumpkin spice latte 20-something-year-old girl there, mm-hmm. and she's looking at him as he comes in, and she's like, oh, hi there. And he's thinking that she's just being neighborly. His hands were full, so he came in behind her as she was coming in. But he has these big boxes of groceries going back and forth from a car, clearly coming from one of those Costco type places, unless she thinks this is some new elaborate hustle that black people do to rob places. They get nice SUVs. Like black people are getting nice SUVs and getting decoy groceries along with the whole family together to get their way into buildings. I guess maybe that's what maybe she thinks that's the thing. I don't know, but
they'll make up any kind of
story.
You know, you could be fixing your car and you could have your hood open and fixing your fucking engine, and they'll make up a whole story about how you were suspicious looking.
Yeah.
They thought they saw a gun.
I mean, look whatever. What happened to Dre. Some guy in a ratchet car, a white guy in a ratchet car, said Dr. Dre had a gun, and the cops just believed this random guy over a black billionaire. Turned out they didn't even find the gun. The guy was just mad that Dre wouldn't let him block his driveway. So he made up. And I never found out they did false charges against that guy. I'm assuming they didn't. But
kind of went away.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, anyway, he comes in and she's like, oh, hi. And he's like, you think she's being neighborly? And he's like, oh, hi. And he's like, you know, thanks for holding the door. And she goes, so are you delivering Fresh Direct to a house here? Like, what are you doing? She's like, he's like, bitch, are you serious? You know?
Oh, god damn.
Yeah. And then he's like, because he's a big guy too. He's a pretty big guy. I'm not gonna blow up his spot, but he's you know, he's a big black guy, right? And he's like, mm-hmm. man, if I tell her off, now I'm gonna look like, you know,
the stereotype.
Yeah, and I was telling him, hey, listen, you're already a stereotype at this point. Why not just go all the way? But I get his point because he's got to live there. But he's one of the old tenants, right? Now, the management company was telling the old tenants stories like, oh, you have to get out, X, Y, and Z. And some of them were getting scared. Like, there was this old Asian lady. I believe she was Filipino. She's like, oh, man, they're telling me to get out. I have to get out. And they were telling her, listen, don't do it. If we stand together, they can't legally force us out. But she's like, oh, no, I don't want any trouble. no, I'm just going to move. It's not worth it. So she gave up her apartment, and a couple of other people did that. And you know how black people are. A lot of times we'll stay and just do the fight. So a lot of the black tenants were staying behind, right? Now, they just started applying pressure. Now, I saw the guy about 6 months later, the same guy. He's looking stressed. And you know how when you see someone, you don't even have to ask them and you know they're stressed just by how they look? Like, you run into them and you're like, holy shit, you're really going through it, aren't you? Like,
he was
like that. Like, I didn't even bother making small talk. Like, how is everything? I just saw him and I was like, yo, what the fuck happened?
God damn, bro.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not even going to pretend you look all right because you know you don't look all right. You know, I'll be insulting you if I pretend you look all right right now. Like, I'm just going to be real with you. Yeah. So I was like, yo, dude, like, what's up? And he's like, yo, we have rats. We have all types of shit going on. And each time they bring the workers in to redo one of these apartments to jack up the rent, they're putting food in the walls and sealing it up so that a pest problem develops. We share garbage with this building, and now it's just overrun with rats.
Oh, fuck. So you can't even, like, go outside and take your trash out without a big rat jumping out?
Not at night. I got to go in the day. But check this out. One of his neighbors, also a black couple, had a recent kid. The rat thing has gotten so bad. And it's saying the rats are especially concentrated in the old tenants' apartments. So he's on that floor with a lot of the old tenants. His wife was nursing in the living room and a rat fell through the ceiling and landed on her and the baby while she was nursing.
Oh no, bro, are you serious?
That's my word. So he's got rats, and now, like, out of principle, and it's a good thing and a bad thing about black people. Like we'll have fights out of principle to the point that even if it's making us miserable, we're like, I don't want to give you the win.
Right.
So he's just been dealing with that. And they've done a whole bunch of other underhanded stuff. And I don't want to get too specific and blow up his, you know, spot. Right, he has some cases going on with this stuff. But so it's like overrun with rats. Rats are falling through the ceiling. I looked up this management company. They're called G-Way Management. G-Way, W-A-Y. If you Google them, you'll see, like, Yelp reviews. They got, like, one star. They're pretty much known as slumlords. They're the recent purchasers of this building next door, right? This building, the latest thing they tried, I believe they tried to get some apartment rent $8,000 or more. That was the rumor that they were trying for, like, a $9,000. What they did was, because they have multiple roofs, they have, it's like split level. The topmost roof, they tried to make it into a garden penthouse. So the old top floor apartment is now a two-floor apartment, the top floor being now the roof. You know, it's just full of rich people. So what I was asking is if you're getting rats in these apartments, rats don't just stay in one building. Like, they nest, they explore, they go to different parts. So how is it just remaining in these apartments? It's not possible. And if it is going into the other apartments, how are they charging these exorbitant rents? Who's paying these rents to live with rats? And according to this guy, he's saying, hey, a lot of these people are living on their parents' dime. So it's not even real to them. It's like a expensive dorm to them.
Gotcha.
So they don't care. They're spending a lot of time trashing their own overpriced apartments anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then the rich people who aren't like subsidized 20-somethings or 30-somethings living off trust funds or their parents' money, they're just going to blame the black old tenants anyway.
Yeah, they're going to say they're the ones that brought the rats there. They're nasty.
Yeah, yeah. They blame my building, too. They treat my building. I heard one of them saying, my building's not even connected to them. And everything was fine before their building changed management and ownership and brought in all, like, the yuppie trash. But my wife overheard one of them telling a city inspector about my building. Yeah, I think it's a Section 8 building.
Get the fuck out of here.
And my building is clearly not a Section 8 building.
Oh, these motherfuckers.
But I guess to them, I guess with their type of... Because these are the kind of people who would, like 10 years ago, never even have visited Brooklyn. So I think to them, like almost all of Brooklyn is probably Section 8, unless it's like luxury.
Yeah, and you know that was you know what that was code for, by the way.
Oh yeah, like there's too much niggers in that building, but I mean they have their own domestic nigger problem, but I guess they feel like it's a little more manageable in their building. Yeah, I asked my wife. I was like, "Did you say anything?" She's just like, "Oh, why bother?" And I was like, "Oh my god, I so would have fucking went off and stuff like." White people love snitching on anyone but actual racists. That, right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when it's time to be on a jury and convict somebody, like in the Philando Castile, like shot on camera, it's like, something's like, no, we got to really think about what happened and hear both sides. Yeah. But when it's time to snitch on some random black people or even poor white people. Oh man, as long as they're not snitching on, like, you know, each other or something. Oh my god, they are some the snitchiness
people. Yeah, they start singing a tune.
They have perfect,
flawless memories, and they can point everything. The time of day they saw the guy from 100 meters away. You know, they can see the sweat dripping from his eyebrows.
They have old sundown towns where, like, there's unsolved lynchings and the whole town knows who did it. And white people stay mum. They had documentaries where camera crews came in, asked, like, 3 or 4 questions, and a whole bunch of people swarmed on the diner and told the camera crew, you need to get the fuck out. God. And these are, like, 50, 60-year-old crimes. I wish I could remember the documentary. I think it was on CNN, and I think the host was black, but most of the camera crew was white. But, yeah, they were not having it. These are, like, old crimes. You have old postcards where everyone's face is clearly shown at a lynching, and they still can't find who these people are. And you
travel around the country. They'll send those postcards out around the country.
Yeah, they didn't even put them in envelopes. Like, they were in transit with the pictures facing out. I mean, they could find Nazi war criminals who had plastic surgery and relocated halfway
across Argentina somewhere. Some hole in Argentina. They pinpoint and find them everywhere.
Yeah, but they can't find some hick who has not left the house he lived in 60 years. You know what I mean?
That's the system we live in, man. And these people, and everybody wants to pretend like it just magically disappeared once the Civil Rights Act was signed.
Oh, yeah. You know,
these people just got quiet and found more refined ways to practice white supremacy.
Yeah, for real. So that's what this building, oh, my God, it's just emblematic of everything I hate about gentrification. Because we had, like, a sweet spot where the white people coming in were pretty chill.
Yeah.
And there was still a lot of the old people. And people would say hi to their neighbors. And, like now these people act like you're invisible, or unless somehow you've become inconvenienced to them in that exact moment, and then they might acknowledge you to tell you to get out the way or something. But
passive aggressive confrontation.
No, not even that. Like,
boy, when he was bringing the groceries in.
Oh, yeah. That one is more passive aggressive. But one time, like, stuff started happening, right? You know when someone does something that's so out of pocket and overt, you actually don't respond out of sheer shock? Like yes. Did this motherfucker actually do that? Like, did that just happen? Like, you had to process it?
Right.
One thing, my wife and I were walking down the street. This guy's jogging by, and there's plenty of room on the sidewalk. This guy's jogging by. My wife and I are in mid-conversation, and the guy yells, and dude, he had so much room. He yells as he passes by, jogging, "Get out the way!"
Keeps
jogging. And my wife and I actually kept talking for about 20 seconds before the signal hit our brain, like what he said. Then we stopped, and we're like, did this motherfucker just say that? And then I looked at this white girl sitting on the stoop, and I looked, and she just shrugged, like, you know? So now I looked back, and he was at the corner. So he was at the opposite corner because he had enough time to get to the corner. So and this is like petty, but I ran back to try to catch him. But he turned the corner. By the time I got to the corner, I rounded the corner and he was gone. So I'm like, shit, he has to live in one of these buildings. And I got so heated, I wasn't thinking straight. So I started asking people, did you guys see what, I tried to act nice, because if I acted too mad, they might be like, okay, we have to protect the white guy from the black guy. So I acted nice. I was like, anyone see which building that guy went in? The guy who was just jogging down the street. You know, I tried to act like maybe he was an old friend of mine. But I think maybe I was a little too obvious, because everyone was like, oh, no, we didn't see. Mm-hmm. You know, that same like no snitching thing. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. So I'm like, he must live on this block. So I spent like 2 weeks just making dumb reasons to go on that block.
Yeah.
To try to catch that guy. Face? What's that?
Did you get a look at his face?
Yeah, but I did. But at the same time, a lot of these guys who gentrify move down looking the same.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So I had a general idea. But first, my wife is like, just what are you doing? Why are you going down there? I don't want to get a call about, you know, you being locked up somewhere for something stupid. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I'm just happening to walk down this way today. Like, I would just make up excuses. I'm like, hey, do you want something from that restaurant? And she's like, right. You never go to that restaurant that much. You're only trying to catch that guy.
You're trying to make it.
What's that?
He said you were trying to make things align so that you'll run into
that guy. I was trying to find excuses to walk down there at that same time and stuff. But this is what's interesting, and this has happened to a lot of friends of mine, I noticed, right? Like, now I'm hyper-vigilant. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm ready.
And
like,
nothing happens.
No. Stuff happens.
Oh, okay.
And I'll get into arguments, and I'll do whatever, you know, because now I'm hyper-vigilant because, like, for example, like, the cyclists, for some reason, I don't know why, cyclists in New York are rageaholics. I don't know what's wrong with them.
It's not just New York, bro.
Oh, it's not New York?
Maybe here in New York, maybe here in L.A., there are New York transplants that are active, but the cyclists out here are the most entitled.
Oh, my God.
Walking earth, bro.
Their plight. I get there's a lot of asshole drivers out there, but you guys have far supplanted them in assholeness at this point.
Exactly.
Oh my
God. And the thing about it is you're not going to win that confrontation between you and a car, your bike, your 10 speed or whatever the hell it is you're riding. you're not going to win that confrontation. So if you piss off the wrong person, you know, oh my that's your God. Ass.
They're condescending and just so, like one time I was parking my car. There's no way to park without going across the bike lane. Like, I'm sure one day they're going to invent a car that jumps over the bike lane and lands in the parking spot, but that car hasn't been invented yet. So there's literally no way to park without crossing the bike lane. So I'm parking, and this bike is coming down. He can easily just go around, but he starts like yelling like, "This is a bike lane! This is a bike lane!" And I was like, dude, I'm not going to argue with you. If you stay here, I'm just going to get out the car.
Right.
Because I'm not interested in just sitting 15 minutes arguing with somebody and ending up on YouTube or Worldstar. Right. Like, if I'm going to end up on one of those sites, then I'm going to try to swing on some. Like, I'm not going to look like an idiot, you know, doing that man dance or talking out through a car window for 15 minutes and gather. Right. Like, why? Exactly. So I told him, like, if this is going to happen, like, let me know and I'll, you know, get out the car. And then I go, forget it. And then he sped off. But, like, now, like, I'm always, like, ready for something out of pocket to happen. And I talked to my friends and they've said the same thing. Like, they get into more arguments now, and it's always after one of those experiences where something so entitled and arrogant happens that they say never again with these gentrifiers.
Yeah.
And we were sharing stories and we're like, wow, it sucks to live like this.
It absolutely does. Absolutely.
Yeah, to have this hyper vigilance.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I just hate it. Like, to be on a line, for example, like just a million, I hate the word microaggressions because social justice warriors have like destroyed it. But like, you'll be on a line. Like, here's an example. You go to this like hipster restaurant, which is like mistake number one, and you go and you're clearly waiting for the hostess. And then like these two pumpkin spice lattes. And I don't want to say white girls because it's not all white girls. There's a lot of chill white people. I like to say pumpkin spice lattes because it paints a specific image. You know, like with Uggs and the base and the whole basic vibe and a Michael Kors watch, which is like the number one red flag for like a basic. Like, you'd be waiting, clearly waiting for a hostess or waiting to be seated or whatever. And then they'll just walk right by you like you're invisible and go straight to the hostess. And you'll be like, and now I'm always ready for it. So soon as I see them coming, I was like, oh, try it. I'm ready. And then you feel like, and this is the weird thing, you feel like a dick somehow.
Yeah.
You know, calling them out like, yo, I'm here. You don't see me?
I think the thing about it is it bothers us, you know, because we're hypervigilant. So that means you're more tense. You're looking for an issue so that you can be ready for it to push it, where it's just daily doing business for them.
They're not
stressed out about it at all. It's nothing for them to walk right in front of you in line when you're waiting for something. I've seen it happen. I've had it happen with my wife and myself. We were we're playing laser tag, and we were waiting in line to pay for our stuff. And there was a couple of Asian hipsters that just somehow they just ended up right in front of us. I'm like, okay, excuse me. I know you've seen us in line in front of you. Now, how the hell did you guys, you know, my wife and I, we were in the middle of our conversation, you know, but the line was moving and we were moving. And then somehow they just figured they would just mosey right the hell on in front of us. We're like, no, you need to get back there and wait in line just like everybody else. Line starts back there. You know?
Yeah. Oh, man. Here's another story. My wife was at the counter someplace. Listen to this one. She's at the counter. There's some white guy behind there. He He had the look of a mansplainer. Like he looks like a guy. Even before he opens his mouth, you know he likes to mansplain. Like he's probably every night he mansplains to someone somewhere about something.
You gotta like, I gotta know what the look of the mansplainer is. Now,
it's hard to explain, but when you go to a lot of these bars, you see a lot of guys either on dates. And it seems like they're online or Tinder dates, or they seem to be like maybe someone they've been dating for a couple of times, or sometimes it's a woman they just met, and they'll just be mansplaining something. It might be the music that's playing right now, or what's on the screen. Like, for example, the last time I went to my local bar and I saw a mansplainer, Breaking Bad was on the screen.
Okay.
So this guy was next to this girl and he was just mansplaining the genius of Breaking Bad to her, you know? And I was like, wow, this is painful. Like, and she seemed to be enjoying it. God bless her. But even if she wasn't, it wouldn't have stopped her.
Right.
Like on Twitter, people exaggerate a lot of stuff and ruin a lot of stuff. And a lot of what people call mansplaining on Twitter is just a guy talking. Like if you're just a guy and you're just saying anything, you're just like mansplaining. But in the real world, I've seen some real problematic mansplaining. Like, there really is an epidemic out there. And I feel like these white women have to have it tough because there's a big mansplaining epidemic. But they have a look, and it's hard to explain, but I'll try. Really underdeveloped musculature in the arms and the chest.
Okay.
A shirt that the sleeves might be slightly... The sleeves are probably a little too short. Mm-hmm. And there's probably something ironic on the t-shirt, or it might be a vintage rock band, a punk band or something. Something to let people know I have the right taste. A slight belly, like skinny fat. Not fat fat, but like skinny fat.
As you're saying this, I have so many guys popping into my head right now.
Oh yeah,
you know what's good? Experiences.
If you watch a hipster comedy special with a lot of those alt comics, half of them will have this look. You know, it's So it's like I drink a lot of craft beer, so I have this belly. You know, but I'm not actually fat, and it's just a very special look, and they might have some facial hair drama going on, like maybe a handlebar mustache or something. Okay. But they have a look to them, like they're just ready to pounce on something and mansplain, and it's a hard look to explain. It's like if you watch a nature special, and if you even own a house cat, forget a nature special. Like, do you notice the special look a cat has when it's in hunting mode?
Yeah,
like, they have this look at the bar or in the street where you could tell their antenna are up for an opportunity to mansplain.
So they just have this reservoir of trivial knowledge, and they just are waiting to drop it at any given moment, particularly to a female.
Yeah, particularly to a female. I think being black, I attract a lot of it too, but in a different way. Like, you know, they'll try to mansplain something about white privilege to me, for example.
Okay.
You know, usually when they mansplain to the white woman, it'll usually be to explain to them like why their taste is wrong.
Yeah.
Actually, it'll be more something to explain, like, hey, this is why you're stupid. Like, oh, you like this? Here's why you're stupid. Or, hey,
yeah,
do you think you like the show? Here's why you like it for the wrong reasons.
Right.
You know, or, yeah, you know, stuff like that.
I
With me, it's... Yeah, go on.
I had a situation, this was some years back, when during Obama's first run, I used to do deliveries at different offices and shit like that. So there's this one place in Orange County I went to, and I was going there to make my delivery. And I walk in, and there's a scenario going on, just like what you described, but it was about politics. I could clearly tell I had walked into a conversation about politics.
I already see where this is going.
When I walked in, the guy, there was a white guy and a white girl. And when I walked into his office to make the delivery or to his cubicle area, he stopped talking, right? Mm. So the girl sees me. And then she says to him, hey, you know, my boy, I'm looking at the latest polls. My boy, he's catching up. Clearly, she's talking about Obama. So yeah. She was trying to get him to get back into whatever it was that he was getting into. So then he gives her like this sly look. And he's like, you know what? I'll talk to you about that later. You know what I mean? Mm. So he didn't want to get into it right then and there. But I could tell when I had walked up, he was just going heavy into something. So she wanted to play on that. Yeah. And see if, okay, here's a black guy. Let's really
see if you say the same thing.
Right, right, right.
So I'll say, do you think they were trying to hook up?
Do I think what?
Do you think they were trying to hook up?
I think that there was an attraction that he had for her. I don't think that she was particularly attracted to him.
I mean, the reason I asked that is, to me, I bet on some level that was to punk him. She's like, I bet you're not going to say that when a black guy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. You felt that, right?
For sure. Yeah, I did. Absolutely. And that's why I kind of chuckled to myself. I said, I'm not getting involved in this conversation.
She conversationally cucked him.
Yes, she did. She did.
Yeah. Like,
she knew
like,
exactly
you know,
what she was doing. She kind of gave me that look out the corner of her eye and made her assessment. And said, okay, I'm gonna do this. And then she shot him that, and then he had the opportunity to take the bait, and he didn't. He just said, you know, I'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, you know, she was like, let me see how much of a man you are. Because right. White women are good at that. They're good at playing on white guys' masculine insecurity by using whatever black guy is around. Like, I always hate being used as a tool in that situation. Like, we're on so many tangents now, and I still have an old story to get back to, but this makes me want to think of another story, but I'm not gonna tell it right now, but remind me to tell it.
Okay.
But I know exactly what you're talking about. You came in, this dude probably didn't even have a shot, but sometimes a girl just likes to test a guy, even if she has no plans to get with him, right, just to see if he can pass it or if he's even willing to just take the test, like just for entertainment. Yep. And I noticed that happens a lot. A lot of times you'll come in on something going on with a white girl and a white guy, and she does something like, but even if it's to flirt with you or to get you involved in a conversation or to get the white guy to say something
right
that he should not want to say in front of a black guy. Mm-hmm. And I call that like conversational cucking. And that's what she just did right there. They were having verbal intercourse. You came in, she switched the verbal intercourse to you, and he just clammed up and got shut out of the threesome.
I would love to know what they were talking about when I rolled up on them, though. That would have been, you know.
Me too. But to get back to the original story, my wife was on that line, right? And the mansplainer is behind her. She puts the stuff on the counter, and then right by the counter, about 5 feet from the counter, she's like, oh, I forgot something. Let me just get this thing. So she just walks. She doesn't even have to go into a different aisle. Like, it's facing the register. It's 5 feet from the register in eyes view. She walks to that thing, and then the white guy behind her just like, and then he just goes up.
Whoa.
Yeah, God forbid, I have to wait 10 seconds.
Okay.
He just goes up. Like, he's exasperated. That was my exasperated side.
Okay, might I got not you. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. That might have sounded like anything. I should have made that clear. Okay. That was an exasperated sigh. So he's like, and he just goes up right to the counter. He goes, just ring me up.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and my wife, I'm proud of her. She was like, no, because I think I've filled her head up with a lot of this stuff that I just kept saying. Yeah. I just kept saying, because a lot of stuff that would happen, I'm like, no, that's not going to slide. That's not going to. This is after that thing with the alley snitch.
Right.
You know, so I know she's been getting like more confrontational and hypervigilant too. Mm-hmm. So she's like, no, I'm right here. He's already ringing me because he already started ringing her up. So based on this short delay of just walking 5 feet to take this thing and walking back, he was demanding that the person at the register cancel her order, not even acknowledging that she existed, and ring him up.
Right.
So, you know, I was proud of her. Like, she checked him. But that's just another example of that whole line thing. Last story.
The sense of entitlement there, too.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. This is that conversational cucking story that I was just about to tell. And I don't know if I'll ever get a chance to tell it again. It's a perfect segue from what you just described, walking in that couple. Mm-hmm. But one time, my friends and I, this is back in the 90s, we were sitting together. And I wasn't really as savvy. No, sorry. I wasn't savvy at all. I don't really understand a lot of things the way I understand them now.
Right.
I was very naive and very post-racial. Mm-hmm. We're sitting down. It's four black guys. All of us are 6 feet and up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all either in shape and athletic looking or big and strong looking, like, you know, those dudes that have like really big hands, big, you know, someone who looks like two of the guys look like Suge type builds.
Okay. So you all have the attribute of virility and strength. You all look.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And me and the other guy kind of had that basketball player look. Like,
gotcha.
I mean, I wish I had that now, but that's neither here nor there. But you know, with that look of like virility and stuff, this really pretty, demure looking white girl just comes and sits with us out of the blue.
Okay.
And we're like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we were like, this is interesting. We'll roll with this.
Let's see where it
she
goes.
Sits down. Hmm?
We'll see where it goes.
How often does this happen? This is like a good story.
Okay.
So we sit down. And she goes, so how are you guys doing?
Oh, shit.
We're like, what the fuck's up with this chick? Mm-hmm. So we're just talking to her. We're like, oh, yeah, we're doing fine. How are you doing? And we're just talking to her and stuff. And she was dressed to the nines. Like, she looked nice. She had, like, provocative clothing. So we're like, why is this chick dressed like this and coming over to us? And she was just talking about all types of stuff. Like, where are you guys from? What are you doing? Like 5 minutes went by, and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I don't know what this is. Maybe she likes one of us. You know, we'll try to feel it out, figure who she likes, and then we'll let that guy talk to her. Like, you know, we didn't think anything of it. This guy comes over, and he's kind of like nervous and stuttering. And we're like, who the fuck's this guy? Like, what's going on now? Why is like, do people think we're famous or something? Like, what's with this motherfucker now? What's
he doing?
Yeah. So this guy shows up. He's like, and he's like stammering. And we're like, yo, dude, like, what's wrong? Is everything okay? And then the girl is like, yes.
Oh,
we're
damn.
He's like, yeah, I just wanted to know. She goes, no, I'm fine right here. And I realized, oh, shit, this chick's on a date. The date went bad. So she was teaching him a lesson by sitting with the black guys.
Oh, wow. That is
so I pieced it together after the fact.
Wow. So Are you serious?
Yeah. So then we were still confused. We're like, dude, you want to say something? I'm like, do you guys know each other? And then the guy's like, well, you know, I just want to know what you... So he must have been sitting there for like 5 minutes trying to figure out what to do.
Right.
And I think she deliberately chose the most virile looking black guys there.
Mm-hmm.
Because she knows about that kind of white masculine insecurity. I mean, this is before there was Twitter, there's white genocide hashtags, and there's an alt-right. And I really knew about that dynamic, the whole cucking. I didn't know anything about that. I was very naive and post-racial. So it took me a while. I think it took me like years to figure out what happened.
Mm.
Like one day I was looking back and I was like, holy shit, that's what happened. Like the guy got really nervous. He was flustered. He kept trying to kind of plead with his eyes, probably the similar to that face that you said that guy had in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know how he was looking at her and saying, shut the fuck up.
That's exactly. Oh, dude, that's exactly the look that he had, too. His look was like.
He was giving her that look like
that.
He was giving her that look like, are you really going to emasculate me right now? Especially in like foreign niggers?
Yeah.
I can't even like have it be like some Tom Brady looking motherfuckers. Like it's this. And she knew that would hurt him the most. She calculated. That's how I realized like, wow, chicks can be really evil. Like and what?
It's not just
what could this... No. You notice I didn't say white women. I just said women can be pretty evil. I mean, men can be too. Before anybody gets at me, you know, it's I'm equal opportunity here.
But you know what?
Yeah,
I've seen that happen, and it was very fortunate, man. To be honest with you, you know, because there are some guys, you know, little short guys most of the time that will really go and start. Trying to turn up in a situation like that, you know, their manhood.
Oh, talent. Yeah.
And then
especially nowadays in this Trump era and this MMA UFC era, a lot of white guys are turned up and ready to fight back.
4 months of MMA classes. And, you know, all of a sudden you think you're Hoist Gracie or some shit. And you want to
if he had an Affliction t-shirt, he would have probably tried to take all four of us.
Oh, no, not the Affliction t-shirt.
If he had a month of MMA and an Affliction t-shirt,
he
would have been like, come on, bro.
Exactly.
Right now.
Class.
I'm not getting cucked.
Exactly. he would use that word, too. He said, you're not going to cuck
me. If that happened today, it would have been way different. Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, if it happened today, I would have been hip to the dynamic. So I would have called it out. I'd be like, look, please don't involve us in this.
Right.
Like, we're not props in whatever psychodrama you
have. That's a great point. That's a great point.
Yeah, yeah.
You can easily find yourself in a situation where there's a fight breaking out all because she wanted to play psychological games with this guy. Keep your business with him. Don't drag us into it. You have no interest in any of this on a real
scale. Yeah, we're not interested in being
games. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. We're not your props. Right. Yeah. So the dude ended up at some point leaving with his tail between his legs. And she stayed for 5 more minutes and then she left. And like I said, it took me a while to figure out the whole psychodrama that happened. You know, it's great that we didn't even talk about any topics that we had planned. We just ended up doing a gentrification and cucking episode.
Yeah, just at the last minute, we just took a quick turn into cucking.
Yeah. That's the issue du jour, man. People are going to look back. Like the 60s were like the Vietnam War, and the 70s was like, you know, the... more Vietnam War and disco in the 80s were hip hop and new wave. This era is going to be cucking, man. That's what they're going to look back on.
Yeah.
History books is going to be all about that.
The first time that I ever even saw that conceptually, I didn't even know what that meant. I was like, what the fuck? fuck are they talking about? Remember last year sometime? Or even the year before that, where that word just kind of started floating around a lot on Twitter? Cucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had never even heard of such a thing. And then when I looked it up to find out what it was just really fucking disgusting. And they would go and take a concept like that and try to make it a part of normal conversation, sick bastards.
Oh, my God.
That cuckold.
yeah. I was listening to Chapo Trap House, and they had an episode about the West Wing. Mm-hmm. And have you ever seen The West Wing?
I have not watched a single episode of that show, too.
Yeah, you're better off not watching it. Uh-huh. Like, it's pretty bad. Like I have a high tolerance for like hate watching, so I watch a lot. But the whole thing is
a couple of times.
Yeah, well, I was researching it for the Hamilton episode.
Okay.
But it's basically this idealistic look at what behind the scenes in a Clinton-esque or an Obama-esque White House would be like, but it's through a wishful liberal lens.
Okay.
So it's kind of like fan fiction for liberals, like what they imagine a liberal president's administration is like. Mm. So they have all these lofty discussions and speeches and idealistic.
There's a great deal of idealism. I remember that being an issue in the 90s.
It's kind of like how in Law and Order, the DA's office, they're just always debating, you know, the morals of the laws, and instead of just trying to rack up prosecutions and get black people locked up.
And it was always like, I remember in some of those shows, it was always like the conservative, where the conservative would, because it was the right thing to do, would kind of go with a liberal position.
There's a lot of that.
Like, you know, I normally wouldn't do this, but, you know, this is the right
thing. It's for the greater good.
This is for, exactly. So I'm going to abandon my wrong conservative position and side with goodness and righteousness in this particular case.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Movies. But one of the jokes they made in Chapo is if they had a West Wing for the Trump administration, it would just be a bunch of white guys hissing at each other. You're a cuck. No, you're a cuck.
that's exactly what it would be.
And I want to see that show. Like, we should write it.
Full of satire and whatnot, and just go for it.
I would play it totally straight. I wouldn't even do it satire.
You don't even have to write the comedy into it.
I would do it totally straight, and I think it would be accurate. We'd just be calling each other cucks all day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, Steve Bannon is in there. You know, he ran Breitbart. And he reads like Red Pill and Manosphere blogs.
Dude,
I totally believe he uses cuck unironically.
Yes, absolutely. And every day that I wake up, dude, it's just like, I cannot fucking believe that these people are our elected officials. Oh my God,
what a time to be alive. It's like a real life Keystone Cops.
Exactly. It's like a WWE. You know, has taken over politics in America. You know, Vince
McMahon. You can't actively satire it.
Right.
Yeah. You just have to play it straight and let the laughs come.
Exactly. No doubt about it, man.
Yeah. So back to the building next door. Yeah. They're just getting them out of there, raising the rents. I'm curious if they'll get that $10,000 a month rent that they've been gunning for.
Well, there doesn't seem to be like a threshold. It seems like they are trying to see how far they can crank that baby up, you know?
It's fucking nuts, man.
Yeah, out here.
$10,000 a month for a building that has rats in it.
Yeah, that's sick, man. And just think about that for a second. To the mentality that you have to actually do that kind of shit to people. You know, these are people that have children. they have a right to their lives too. And then you would purposely sabotage them like that to make their lives miserable, you know, because you want more money. It's really unthinkable to me. It's unconscionable. But it just goes to kind of show what we deal with every day in this system, man. It's crazy.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think we went like a little bit over, but is there any last thing you want to talk about? And please don't make it super complicated.
Yeah.
That it ends up being another half hour.
And like, because gotta you know how we do, man. That could easily happen.
Yeah, exactly.
That could easily happen. No, man. Just I think we kind of had one of our normal discussions today. I think the audience is going to get a chance to kind of hear how we kind of normally chop it up when we're not doing a show and stuff like that. You know, this is the kind of we laugh.
This was a nice surprise because we had a whole list of topics and technical difficulties.
We didn't even touch it. Exactly. We have like a Word file and all this other stuff. He's like, okay, we're going to take these notes and this is what we're going to talk about first. And then we're going to
Yeah. And it still worked out.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. I can't wait to hear it and see how it comes out. Hopefully we figure this thing out though, so that we can have all three of us on a damn call at once, man. This is crazy. Like every time
we're doing this on purpose, man. This is not accidental technical difficulties. It's part of the character of the show now. Because now you can tune in and you don't know who or what you're gonna get.
Right.
One day, you're gonna have a guest. One day we're going to have a guest, and all of us is going to be knocked off, and the guest is just going to finish.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, that'll be a first. And it'll be on purpose, of course.
Exactly. Because we all planned it that way. See, you just don't know.
So
what you got going on, man, for the rest of the week? You got any plans for the 4th of July or anything like that?
My only plans is just to knock out more podcast episodes with you guys because I have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
Between my old laptop, I told you about the drama where I kept losing episodes I recorded.
Were you recording whole ass episodes, bro? And then they were.
Oh, dude, I did two whole episodes find out until they were both done. That I ran out of laptop resources.
God damn.
So, like, after I did the third episode, it was late in the week. Mm. And then you get kind of demoralized.
Exactly.
Like psychologically. So, my only plan is to play catch up with y'all.
Cool. Well, let's do it, man.
Yeah. And over the time of this week, who knows what type of combinations we'll get. As far as who gets kicked out,
I think it'll be my turn next time. You know, we just get
No. You got kicked off two times ago, so I think it's gonna be me soon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Overdue. You're overdue for kicked off of the show.
But then again, I got kicked off by myself. If you count those two times I was recording solo, and it didn't record.
True.
So maybe that counts. Who knows?
Yep, exactly.
All right, so. Anyway, it was great talking to you, D.
Same here, man.
All right. So we will catch everyone on the flip side.
This time next week. Peace.
All right. Peace.